Hey friends, Matt Pat here, back from retirement. I'm so excited for this episode of Like and Describe, YouTube's official trends podcast. You see, today we're talking about anime. Now, I'm not an expert on this topic, but I have seen my fair share of anime over the years. And like so many others, I'm absolutely hooked on the genre. I got started with Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z on Toonami, and then I got to all the biggest hits like Death Note and Fullmetal Alchemist, and as many of you know, I've made more than my fair share of anime theory videos. The anime community, based on the style of animation that originated in Japan, it's existed on YouTube since online video's earliest days. Content's evolved over the years, from creator reviews of anime shows to nowadays almost every genre available. Music, art, fashion, and just so many more. Creators are making original anime music videos, fan animations, even recreations of popular food dishes from anime series. The overall result of all of this fan expression online is that anime is becoming bigger and more global than ever before, with creators around the world all taking part. Now, obviously, this topic is huge. I mean, we could have an entire podcast series just about anime and YouTube. So today, we're instead focusing on a fan community that, honestly, deserves way more recognition. We're doing a deep dive into the ways that Black creators on YouTube have helped to spread anime into mainstream culture and continue to push the fandom forward. We're joined by three amazing guests today. You might remember Ernest Petty, returning friend of the podcast. Ernest is a trends expert at YouTube and longtime anime fan. He's going to be joined by Shonen Showdown, aka Rob, a focal point of the anime community. Rob specializes in anime and manga debates, character power rankings, and anime-inspired comedy. Jasmine, meanwhile, is dedicated to in-depth anime reviews and gameplay on her personal channel, Jazzy Guns, and her duo channel, Dwayne and Jazz. First off, a huge welcome to Ernest, Jazzy, and Rob. Thank you guys so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for having me.
One thing that I would love for all of you to just kind of acquaint us with your channels is, can you describe one or two of your most popular uploads to give us a sense of what you guys create in the anime community? So, Rob, let's start with you.
One of my favorite videos that I have on the channel right now is I asked 100 anime fans to make a tier list. I brought a tier list board to MomoCon in Atlanta, Georgia. You got to see the passion of everybody trying to figure out, you know, which character belongs where, and they had to factor in the crowd behind them.
Yeah.
You know, if you move Goku down to F tier, well, you know, the Dragon Ball fans behind you are going to make sure, you know, that it doesn't happen, or, you know, whatever. So
yeah.
It's really just like a lot of fun. You get to see a lot of different opinions. That's probably, you know, my favorite video. I also do skits. You know, my favorite skit was if anime shows are people. And that's just me, you know, just acting out as the different anime shows and stuff as well.
That's awesome. A lot of capital O opinions in that crowd, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What about you, Jazzy? What about you? Explain to us your one of your favorite videos or one of your most popular videos.
One of the best videos I've done as far as like anime related is Danganronpa, my whole Danganronpa series. Those videos have ranged from an hour to maybe 3 hours in length for each one. And I love that series because I'm a big overthinker, okay? So like when it comes to games where I have to be a detective and figure out who killed who based on what evidence, and I'll be like, oh, I think this person did it. And then like I would have no evidence, and then maybe 2 hours in the next gameplay, then that's when it'll show me. I'll be like, yes, I've been saying it since the beginning. This is the person. And then they're like, how are you guessing the killer based off of like nothing?
Theorist respecting theorist, like, right? You just had it. The overthinkers.
Yep.
I'm like, I got that. I also love that you were like, oh, I would solve it. And then 5 hours later,
mm-hmm.
like it's revealed, because that's how that game operates. It's just like such extended periods of time.
Yes.
It's wild. Real quick, just to set the scene here, Ernest, could you give us some quick stats or an overview of kind of what the anime scene on YouTube looks like?
Anime is massive on YouTube. There have been over 100 million uploads of videos related to anime, like all time. That is just astonishing.
You also know that Ernest is serious about his fandom of anime when he pronounces it anime.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, yeah, that's yeah. How you know it's true. Like,
absolutely. Like, yep.
I am but a casual in this world. I'm you know, anime. But yeah. The anime is that's the true when you level up in this world.
I think in addition to that, it's the global expansion of anime that you see in our data. So 80% of the views related to anime on YouTube are coming from outside of Japan, and primarily the United States. And that's where you start to really see the, I would say, the impact of Black creators, because a ton of US-based Black creators who are really essential to this space on YouTube. Definitely our present guests included in this set, but also people like Caleb City, RDC World, and SSJK9K, and King Vader, who was basically making many movies on YouTube that were adaptations of anime. So just essential culture being driven by Black creators on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And so when you say that it's Black creators specifically, are they over-indexing relative to other demographics? Is that what I'm understanding correctly?
Yeah, and that's reflective of the over-indexing of Black fans on anime in general. So Polygon recently did a survey where they collected a lot of data about fandom of anime in general. And they found that Black Americans over the age of 18 accounted for 17% of the anime fan audience, and that's relative to the 13% that they comprise of the general population. So you're already over-indexing there. But then when you go younger, like when you narrow it just to Gen Z, then we're up to 23% compared to just being like 14% of that population. So as you can see, this cohort of Black anime fans are really, really like overly consuming and contributing to the culture.
That's really interesting. So I guess tossing it over to Rob and Jazzy then, is that surprising to either of you? Does that make sense? I'd be curious to get your take as people who are a part of that community.
I'm kind of happy that that's happening, actually, because back in the day, we know that like me and my brother, like we loved anime and video games, things like that. And those were the things that would get you bullied in school back when we were like in elementary school. And I think it's helped with like the amount of creators that came out and are making content, just like Rob does and RDC and King Vader and Caleb City and everything like that, that makes it show that like we are able to consume this type of media and it's fine. Like you don't have to be labeled a nerd for it. You don't have to be bullied for it. Like this is something cool that we like and we're embracing it. So I'm actually glad that more people are coming out showing their love for anime and not being afraid to show it.
Mm-hmm.
If we go into even a genre of music called nerdcore, I have some friends that, you know, they make anime rap.
Yep, they're great.
It's insane how many people, you know, find out different ways to celebrate anime. I know people that cook the foods that are in anime shows. I know people that are insane cosplayers down to, you know, getting 3D printers and putting stuff together. It's insane.
100%. Actually, and I'd love to toss it over to Ernest then. Rob brings up some really good other genres within this kind of massive genre of anime that creators are leaning into. What else are you seeing on YouTube's end as far as like how people are translating anime into the world of online video?
People are taking whatever their ancillary interests are, whether it's photography, cooking, making miniatures, whatever other thing it is that they're interested in, and they're expressing their fandom of anime through that. And so what that's leading to is it's leading to all of these little interesting pockets, these sub-pockets of content and communities that exist within the anime fandom on YouTube.
And I think, Jazzy, you brought it up really well, which is anime has really crossed over into a mainstream entertainment medium in a way that it hasn't existed for decades. And nowadays you have Michael B. Jordan coming out and saying like, hey, here are my top five favorite anime of last year. You have Megan Thee Stallion coming out and performing as Sailor Moon. Where did anime kind of convert over into niche interests that you're getting bullied for to, hey, this is now just a mainstream entertainment juggernaut that is taking the world by storm?
I think one of the most interesting things about the way that Black creators in particular are helping to mainstream anime in our culture is the way they make the content relevant to their cultures. So when you have, like, back in the day when King Vader was doing his different animes in the hood, he's recontextualizing anime in a way that makes it relevant to people from his community. You don't necessarily have to have started with a deep knowledge of anime to appreciate the kinds of jokes that he's telling and the kind of world that he's building through that adaptation. That's one role that Black creators play. And then the other role is just visibility, like just representation. When Jazzy's reacting to content, other Black people are able to see her and say, this is someone who's like me. And it makes you feel connected to others within the fandom. So yeah, I just want people to fully be able to appreciate the role that Black creators are playing in taking anime and bringing it not just to the Black community, but to the broader culture in general.
So I'd be curious then, what was the transition point for you from being fans of anime and consumers of anime into content creators around anime?
I looked at myself like in real life, like, okay, like I like anime, I like video games and things like that, but I never really had anybody to talk to about it because I was kind of like almost feeling like I was the only one. And so I thought to myself like, hey, like I exist, right? Like there's people that are like me that are like Black women, they love anime and things like that. But I feel like they weren't being like seen. So that kind of like also drew me to making my video game channel to play those types of games and fighting games and anime and stuff like that. And to show that like, hey, like we're out here just like everybody else. And like, you can do it too. And don't be afraid to like show it that you like anime and that you like nerdy stuff that would be classified as nerdy, you know, which is now cool. And so that's what kind of like made me be like the driving force of like, yeah, let me start posting this.
And I got to say, like, I think you call out something that I think we've been seeing across the board with a lot of nerd culture, right? Is that the accessibility of digital video and the existence of platforms like YouTube have mainstreamed a lot of geek culture, right? You know, it showed people that, hey, everyone really loves being a gamer and loves playing video games. But like you said, maybe in your immediate vicinity, you didn't know who those fans were. And maybe it was taboo to talk about. Maybe, you know, it wasn't popular in your area, but there was a mass quantity of people who were out there. You just needed a way to find them and connect with them. And you have now created a little hub and a little community around yourself in celebration of this collective love of anime, which is, I think that's beautiful. I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
One of the things I think that I also want to make sure that we've talked about here, and Jazzy, you mentioned a while ago, which was conventions, right? I'd love your thoughts on conventions that you've enjoyed, what is so important about them, and kind of that growth over the years.
There's one that always happens each year, and I'm glad to be a part of it, which is DreamCon, ran by RDC World. And they have, to me, one of the best cons ever that I have ever experienced. Not only because it heavily has like a Black community surrounded by it, but it's also ran by, you know, Black community members, Black YouTubers that they started off making skits about anime and things like that, and making jokes about it. And it's turned into like this big successful con that we could all like dress up and be in anime together and also have our culture connect to it. Big shout out to them. Just have to say that.
So cool. That's really awesome. How about you, Rob? Are you much of a con head?
Yeah, I've been going to a lot of cons. Everything that Jazzy said about DreamCon is right on the money. It's an amazing con. Everyone has a great time there. And I think one of the biggest things is, you know, me as an anime content creator, you know, I apply for a lot of panels to these conventions.
Sure.
And DreamCon is really the only convention outside of BlurCon that actually was able to give, you know, me and my friends an opportunity to host some amazing panels. And, you know, the energy at DreamCon is just next level. It just feels like it's a, you know, a family barbecue or something. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing like it, honestly.
And the panels thing that you bring up, Rob, is interesting because that's actually part of the origin story for this convention, which is that RDC World, you know, they're so influential within the anime culture on YouTube, but they weren't ever getting invited to host or speak on panels at other conventions. So they decided to just form their own convention. And here we are like 5 years later with tens of thousands of people attending. And I think that's just a phenomenal story.
I get viscerally mad about stuff like that. That's so disappointing to hear. Good on them to create the solution that they were looking for. And I hope that, you know, that inspires other people to realize how short-sighted and wrong-headed that is for people to gatekeep what is should be a celebration of cultures and people and storytelling. Is there anything that you wish people would appreciate or recognize more when it comes to the contributions of Black anime fans on YouTube?
Yes, absolutely. There's so many talented creators. Sensei, I can think of as one. Another one is CJ the Champ, who's been doing an amazing job. Codename Super, Bucket Hat Splash, just doing very, very funny comedy style videos. Like I said, there's amazing cosplayers. Personal friends of mine, Anime Sundays, Rene Goddess, just beautiful, beautiful cosplayers doing amazing work. You have amazing channels like Dwayne and Jazz. I mean, obviously, Jazzy Guns can speak more to it here, but reaction channels, especially in the anime space, are huge. I even have friends that participate in Nerdcore. That's, you know, they're rapping about anime. Hieroglyphics, Soul Taishi, Crazy 8 the Great. Amazing. You know, you think you listen to Drake, and then now think about Drake watching DBZ, all right? And that's what you're getting. So it's just so many amazing, talented creators that really need, you know, more shine on them for sure. Absolutely.
To piggyback off of Rob, he named a lot of creators that I had in my mind already. But there's also some, like, just like how, like, I have my channel, Dwayne and Jazz. There's channels like your boy Roshi, and they have, like, three people that's a part of that, Shira Roshi and Lupuson, and they react to anime as well. And there's so many creators in this space. I could go down a long list. We already talked about some, like King Vader and Caleb City, RDC World.
That was an incredible list, guys. And for all of you listening or all of you watching this right now, those links are going to be down in the description below, so you can check out all those amazing creators. Ernest, as the person who kind of has a good handle of the whole ecosystem, right? What niches haven't really been tapped into, or maybe an up and coming trend that we might not be aware of?
I think definitely. So a lot of the creation around anime in the US is actually focused on content that's coming from the big studios in Japan. Mm-hmm. But in Japan, on YouTube, there's actually a pretty vibrant community of creators creating original anime content on YouTube, like for
cool.
YouTube.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious whether there will be a time when that content is treated the same as like major studio content.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. Instead of riffing off of major studios and doing sketch comedy of someone else's IP, it's, hey, as fans, we have our own stories that we want to tell in this world. And so let's just do it ourselves. I think that's fantastic. Just like RDC World did with their convention. Hey, we have stories that we want to have told. We have narratives that we want to be here. Why aren't we creating the IP ourselves? That's really, really cool. Well, it's been awesome to get to nerd out with all of you guys about all things anime. So thank you to Rob, Jazzy, and to Ernest for your time today. I can't wait to see what else you have in store. And, you know, maybe at the next DreamCon, we can all revisit this panel.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm down.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, man.
I think one of the coolest things about talking to Rob and Jazzy here today and Ernest is that it gets me to appreciate anime in a completely different way. That's one of the most beautiful things about digital video in general, right? Is it gives rise to voices that you might not have been exposed to otherwise. And for me, seeing other people interpret my favorite anime, like Death Note, or an anime that maybe I didn't care for as much, and seeing them celebrate their fandom through their unique perspective, it's inspiring, both creatively and as a human. And so now if you'll excuse me, I've got to go binge watch a couple seasons of live action anime remakes. But until then, my friends, I'll see you on the next podcast. Thanks for joining us for episode 6 of Like and Describe, YouTube's official trends podcast. I'm MatPat. You can find out more about Like and Describe at yt.be/likedescribe. That's yt.be/likedescribe. You can find links to all of the creators and videos that we referenced today in the episode's description. Like and Describe is produced by Joe Sabia, Greg Gordon, Emily Shaw, Sam Weiser, Grace Lawson, Amanda Olszewski, Jake Wright, Ernest Petty, and Maddie Buxton. Video editing by Karen Rivas. Graphics by Lewis Hamway. Our theme song is by Megan Bagala. I'll see you next time.